For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting.
the first coming of the Messiah. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can these things be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Thank you.
purpose of Messiah's coming. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost."
there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord shone around them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and there's peace, goodwill toward men."
Suffering and death of the Messiah. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures."
the resurrection of the Messiah. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came on and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. But now Jesus is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order: Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death.
Salvation provided by the Messiah. Jesus often expressed the truth of how someone can have eternal life. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He also said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The New Testament book of Romans says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Should you ask, "What must I do to be saved?" the Bible replies, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household."
Thank you. angels marked the Savior's birth upon a starlit night. Songs of glory, precious story, midst a holy light.
Shepherds went unto the infant guided from above. A star was placed up in the heavens for God's gift of love. Christ the Savior came from glory and for sinners died. Willingly he sacrificed salvation to provide. God incarnate in a manger, sent from heaven above. Born of mercy from his Father, praise him for his precious gift of love.
Second coming of the Messiah. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Thank you. There is just something about good music. It's hard to explain, you know? I wonder if you would join me in giving thanks to our musicians and singers and readers this afternoon for their wonderful ministry to us. It's just wonderful. We had 35 or 40 of our own folks participating in it. And I'd just like to say thanks and ask you all to join me as we do that. Can't forget the children either. They have done a very fine job of preparation, and I have two of them that were in the program, and one was asking, when is it going to be time for dessert? And just a couple of minutes. The other one said, I already know which cookie I want. So they're ready to go here. But I just wondered if I could share with you briefly just five thoughts about Christmas as we close this afternoon, and just focus our thoughts on it again. You know that we, as we went through the readings, we covered really the entire career of Christ, the Messiah, from prediction to fulfillment and His second coming. And that was a great blessing to have that mixed in with the music today. But my first thought really having to do with Christmas is this. Despite anything that the world's throwing at you these days, as it has for a long time, all the commercialism and all the other stuff, Christmas is still about Christ. Amen. That is right. The word Christmas even has Christ in it, although it's often replaced with X these days. But it is about Christ. And if I may just cause you to think back to your Spanish in high school or something, Christ and then M-A-S. What is M-A-S in Spanish? More of Christ. That's what we want in our Christmas. That's not really the derivation of the word, but I was speaking with Tom earlier this week, and I asked him the question, do you know what the word Noel means? And we kind of scratched our head, and I said, I'm going to look that up. And for those of you that know French, it's pretty obvious, but it means Christmas. But I found it interesting that some linguists have said that the word Noel comes from a Hebrew term, Nolad, which is from the verb yalad, which means to be born or to beget. And so indeed, Christ of Christmas is the one who was born. He was born is Noel. That's what we sing when we sing the first Noel. The miracle of the incarnation came just as promised 700 years earlier, and the Lord was born of the Virgin Mary, and thus accomplishing the great miracle of God dwelling in flesh and dwelling with us, human beings, on the earth. Christmas is also about Jesus coming with the intent to save His people from their sins. In fact, that's what His very name means, Jesus, Jehovah saves. He came in order to save His people from their sins. If you miss that, you've missed everything about Christmas. Who needs to be saved? Well, everyone. All are separated from God by that great gulf of sin that separates us from the holy God. That's all people. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And there is this pesky law that God has built into His universe, kind of like 2 plus 2 is 4 or gravity or something. The law is this, simply, that those who sin will die. There is no way around it. Sin has as its punishment death. And so Christ came with the intent to save people from that awful predicament and to rescue them from that law of sin and death. Christmas, thirdly, is about Jesus actually fulfilling that intent. He didn't come just intending to do something good, but He actually did it. The amazing thing, the marvelous thing, for those of you that know Christ, you know what I'm talking about. The amazing thing is that God allowed a substitute to come and to break that unbreakable, otherwise unbreakable law of sin and death. How He did it? He said, the Lord did, I will come and I will take their punishment in their place. I will stand in the gap and take on my shoulders the punishment for their sins, so that God could, at the same time as He carried out His unbreakable law upon Jesus Christ, even though He did no sin, He still died. The Bible tells us that then God could share with us His rich favor and His love and kindness and His grace. And so we are very thankful for that. Christmas, it's also about Jesus coming back again. That was the final part of the program, the reading of Acts chapter 1. And then Joy to the World is really a song that belongs to the second coming, not to Christmas per se, but Christmas does tell us if Christ came once, He certainly can and will come again. And we look forward to that coming. The implication of this, though, is that there is a window of opportunity now for us to receive Christ and to be saved and rescued from that law of sin and death. But that door of opportunity will sometime close. And so Christmas, it's all about Jesus. It's all about His coming to save people separated from God. It's all about Him coming to fulfill that intent. It's all about Jesus coming again. But finally, Christmas, on this day, December 11, is about a decision. A decision that you could make today to receive Christ as your personal Savior and as your Lord. Every time you open a gift this Christmas season, with your family Christmas or extended family or at a party or at work, I want you to think about that gift and think, you know what that gift does? That gift reminds me of the gift that God gave to us. All the gift giving that ever needed to be done has been done. We could dispense with all of the other and just focus on the gift that God has given to us. And so the question is, will you make that decision this afternoon on this Christmas concert program? Will you transfer your allegiance to Jesus Christ from everything else that you have maybe relied upon in your life, yourself, your good works, your religious affiliation, your religious rites and rituals, baptism and all those sorts of things? Perhaps you've been relying on those. God, I'm trying, I'm working, I'm doing something. But you need to abandon all of that and say, God, I understand the reason for Christmas is that Christ came with the intent to save His people from their sins. And He did that. And He provided Himself a substitute to break the unbreakable law of sin and death. And so my question to you this afternoon, would you transfer your allegiance to Jesus Christ? Would you give yourself to Him who gave Himself for you? I hope you will do that today. The window is still open. And we have given you all the information you could ever need from Christ's coming in prediction to His second coming again. If you want to talk to me about that afterwards, I'd be more than happy to. Over some nice dessert, we can share about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Let me pray. Father, we look to You today for Your work in our hearts. We rejoice as those who are bought with the blood of Christ to remember Him who came to die in our place. Thank You for the reading of Your Word today. Thank You for the songs that reminded us of these precious truths. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are moved to believe and rely upon those truths that You have given to us. Thank You again for all of these folks who have worked so hard to put on this program today. We count it a privilege that we could use our lips, our hands and feet, and all that we are to give a sacrifice of praise unto Your name. Today we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Dr. Yanga to come once more to sing hymn number 111. 111, Silent Night. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. And then I'll have just a couple of comments and we'll close.
Let's stand as we sing together. 111, Silent Night. third.
Exit the auditorium, at least on my left, there is a bulletin board full of little gifts that our children have made for you. If you're a visitor with us, we'd like you to have one of those. I think some will be there helping you to extract those from the bulletin board. And so please take one of those as our gift to you. The children labored to put those things together, and we should have enough for most of you who are visiting with us today. And as we mentioned before, we'd like to invite you for a little time of fellowship and friendship around some food. Just as you go out of the auditorium, go down the hall to your left, and you'll see there the desserts and beverages set out for you. I hope that you can stay with us and enjoy that. If you need to use the restroom, there is a pair just on the other side of the back wall. Also a pair of restrooms on the other side of this wall, but to get there you have to go through the library, so you can find those. There are also some upstairs for those of you that are in our church family. You can find those easily and let the others have these down here. I think that's the whole of the program. What an amazing event we have witnessed. An hour and a half has gone by just like that. What a blessing. Thank you all for coming. Lord bless you.